How's everybody enjoying this fine summer day? Amen. Just because the world is showing you that it's cold doesn't mean that the day gets to dictate the season. Amen. Just because the world is showing forth darkness doesn't mean they get to dictate the season. We are coming into a season where God is about ready to do what we've only hoped to see. Amen. Last night I was here praying. I prefer to pray late or early, depending on how you'd like to perceive it. But I find it's easier to pray when everybody else is asleep. No distractions. If flesh is the strength of the enemy, well, then I'll go when it's laying down. Amen? It's just me and Brother Lamas. Because he's sure to text me. I know you're up. I can sense it. Amen. But it has been a week. It has been a month. It has been a quarter. It has been a year. And for some reason this year, we started a year of keys. It's still the year of keys. Nothing's changed. This week has been touch and go. I touch, and then it seems to go. That's all right. Because not every message needs to be preached from a mountaintop. Amen. So this has been stirring on me. As always, I come to preach to me and whoever needs it with me. So if we could stand for the reading of the word, open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And when you're there, say amen. And the Holy Scripture states, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." I want to talk to you today what God has been stirring on me for over a week, which is just breathe. Lord, I ask that you would have your way. I ask that you would release the anointing that the pastor has been praying over this service. We are under his covering. God, to you be all glory. We give you the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I always start with that, because I believe that we should understand the nature of our God. God didn't create so that he could hear praises, just so that he could be affirmed to be God. He was God all alone. He was God all by himself. He created us so that we could be shown who he is. Not so that we could be around and just, "Oh, you're so great." He is so great. But he didn't need me to tell him. But he allowed creation. He created creation to reveal. God is love. And he wanted something to love. And someone to love him back. The earth was without form and void. Now I love Genesis 1. It's one of my favorite chapters. I love how systematic it is. I love how thought out it is. But I love how in Genesis 1:2 it says the earth was without form and void. And every single day the Lord speaks something into existence. Yes. Yes. But everything he speaks into existence, it never says that the earth was now formed. The earth wasn't formed until the earth was used to form man. The earth was there as the creative material that God was going to use to make His creation. When He created the heavens, He created a place for the angels to dwell. When He created the earth, He created a place for man to reign. You are made in My image. You cannot have My image if you are under subjection. God isn't under subjection. God is a ruler. We are princes and princesses of the Lord Most High, the King of Kings. You are not meant to be a slave. This world has been brought under slavery by a sin that is so deceptive, it can deceive people on anything. It can take perversion and deceive someone and call it love. It can take addiction and call it fun. It can take abuse and call it affection. But God says this is not the way it was supposed to be. And so when the Lord God created man, He formed him out of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And what I love about this is that the first breath that ever filled man's lungs was not from an earthly source. Because he wasn't meant to live by bread alone. He wasn't meant to live just by the oxygen the earth can produce. In that garden was planted a tree of life. Trees are there to give oxygen. But this is not an earthly tree. So it was not producing an earthly atmosphere. It was producing an atmosphere that was found where it was planted in the throne. By the river, it's releasing this heavenly atmosphere into this garden. We don't understand, nor do we often appreciate what is planted. Because I'm not supposed to be of the earth, nor are you. When God made us, He made us for Him. And there isn't a person on the face of this earth that doesn't look at the condition of this world and realize something has gone wrong. Now the argument is, how do we fix it? Well, I would dare say you can't vote it out. I would dare say you can't war it out. But if My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. It's easy for the church to point the finger and say, you're the cause for messing it up. Well, we need to turn the finger around and point it right back at us and say, we're the reason it has stayed that way. They're not the ones that bring the healing. We are. My breath is meant to be used for praise. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Now, I've been going through it as of late. When Brother Mike got the word Everything's going to be all right. My carnality immediately went to Bob Marley. I was like, okay. Then further, my carnality went and said, oh, what's this word for? Is it for what I'm going through right now? Or is it what I will be going through soon? Probably all of it. But what I know is it doesn't matter. Because I have a word. That's what I often have to be reminded. What I often have to pray is I have a word. And that makes all the difference in the world. God said a sower came to the field to sow his seed. And he sowed amongst everything. He scattered seed plentifully. Some fell on the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. Some amongst the thorns. And some on good soil. Now, everybody wants to sit here. I've heard preachers preach against the wayside. That's just hardness. They can't receive anything. Don't waste your time. Then why was God, who knows all things, sending seed on it? You know, the wayside was the path through a person's field. It was the shortest point from point A to point B. I don't care if it marched right through your cornfield or not. And everybody took that path. The wayside was hard soil because everybody decided to step on it. That wasn't that soil's fault that it's so hard. The stony soil sat here and couldn't develop root. It was a tactic of the Romans when they conquered. Make sure you throw stones in the field so nothing can grow. We were listening about forgiveness. I want you to understand that when we start casting stones at one another, the only thing I'm going to achieve is the prevention of what God's trying to grow. And if you don't think he's not going to pick that stone up and lay it at my feet as the source in that soil. The thorns, of course, is the world. With all its worldly cares, all its pleasures. And it grows, but it cannot produce fruit at all. And this is what amazed me, is every level of the soil showed you what could or could not be grown. Hard soil cannot grow anything. Stony soil cannot grow depth. Worldly soil cannot bear fruit. But if you take a tree that was meant to be a fruit tree and you never prune it, you never tend to it, you just let it do what it's wanting to do, it will have shallow roots, multiple branches, and all the leaves. It will be the biggest tree in the field because it's only caring about what it can get for itself. Shine on me. Everybody look at me. But it can feed no one. And God says, you weren't meant for this. You were meant to bear fruit. But church, I look at that. And I look at the word being sown. And I also realize that fruit isn't the only thing God is trying to produce. He sows the word in our heart because he's trying to create the atmosphere from the tree of life that the world has lost. It was spoken in this morning that you can go through situations where you feel like you can't even breathe. Where the prayer room becomes constriction. I feel like I'm suffocating with where I'm at. And I fight and I fight and I fight and I fight, and it makes it worse. Because when I went up to Eagle River, I asked God, I said, well, what are you trying to teach me? Obviously, I'm being taught something, not smart enough to know what it is. And the Lord, in that prayer, while I was sitting in the parking lot praying, stirred on me, I'm teaching you to quit praying to get out of it. I'm teaching you that wherever I send you, you're there till I take you out. Paul and Silas cannot have a ministry if their prayer is simply on, please get me out of this prison. But I've preached it before and I'll preach it again. Paul called himself a prisoner of Christ, never a prisoner of Rome. Because Rome did not possess the authority or the ability to keep Paul in that prison cell. But what happened in Acts 16 is when Paul and Silas were put in the stocks and they were shackled and put in the lowest depth of the prison. At midnight, they began to pray and they began to sing unto the Lord. Because Paul knew, these chains have no power over me. But if I continue to sit in this prison atmosphere, it will only be a matter of time before I suffocate. Far too often do I allow my situation to dictate my atmosphere. Paul was going through a shipwreck. And you can see when he was going through his shipwreck, there were sailors. And a sailor's mentality is, let's get out of this. I am looking for the escape route. The soldier's mentality is, kill them all. It is why Brother Lamas this time told me, bro, you need mercy and grace. I have it. Not enough. Why? Because when the storm came, I ain't looking for the rowboat. I'm looking for my sword. I'll kill everything. I'll kill every spirit. Lord, let me at them. But the problem is that mentality, I don't care where I find it. When I get to that level, if I find it in you, you're a casualty of war. And that's why a man of God is going to point his finger at me and say, bro, you need to pray. But here's the thing is, Paul found the eye of the storm, where through the rage of it all, there was nothing but calmness in him. Peace that surpasses understanding. And this is what amazes me, is that during my trials, I will fight and kick and do everything I can, and yet it never changes anything. I pray against it, doesn't change it. I pray for it, doesn't change it. And the point was, is that I'm not there to change it. I'm there to pray. The thing that God has shown me within the past couple months, because it was his brother, him and his twin brother laid hands during a men's conference and said, God calls you a mighty man. This is a man of war. I'm like, whew, I'd like to be a man of peace. And I realized something. A prayer warrior isn't there to fight the enemy. A prayer warrior is there to keep prayer alive. To keep the lane of communication open when everything else is trying to shut it down. No one here is called to be weak because you're mighty in Him. Pray. When you feel like you've prayed enough, pray some more. Because my prayers are not about what I can get or what should be done. My prayers are about, God, I need you to walk with me. When I was here last night, it wasn't, oh Lord, I need you to do. It was, Lord, I need you to walk with me. I just need you here. I don't need anything else. I just need you here with me. I don't care what I'm going through. The Word says I don't go through it alone. Sit with me in this storm. And I'm telling you, the Lord came in this place in a capacity that is amazing. And then it lifted. I knew it was time to go home. Now, I don't say that because I'm great. I say that because He's great. Anybody who comes in and prays that prayer is going to have a God show up. He's not like, oh, it's Mitchell's prayer. Because believe me, I know me well enough that that doesn't cut it with me. Mitchell's prayer shouldn't go anywhere. But when I pray in His name, and I pray His word, things do happen. Because the breath of God starts to shift the atmosphere to where I can get so content that I don't need the situation to change. And it's just breathe. Everything began with breath. He breathed into the man's nostrils. When he had his disciples, he went over to him and he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now in this year of keys, God has been stirring something on me last night. How many still got their key verse? How many can still remember it? Yes. Yes. Amen? Yes. Well, the Lord started to tell me something. I see your hand. According to your faith, let it be done to you. I didn't understand that. I'm like, what does that mean? According to your faith. So everybody knows their verse. It's a key. Has God told you what it's going to unlock? He wouldn't hand you a key if He didn't intend to hand you what it was going to open. This verse is specific for you. Because God has a specific treasure. And when Jesus, the Word, robed in flesh, came out of the water, the heavens opened. You see, I have found myself at times being so content with heaven opening a window that I'm not focused on the fact that He wants to open the entire kingdom. And so I sit in a place where I struggle to breathe. And I'll tell you what I do. I make it worse. And how do I do that? By grumbling. By mumbling. By chattering. Because when Brother Levi was preaching, something jumped out to me. On John 6:661... He had just got through saying, "You need to eat and drink of me." And then this verse declares something you don't see anywhere else in the gospel. His disciples murmured against him. Oh, the Pharisees were murmuring, and the Pharisees got the people to murmur. But now all of a sudden a hard thing got the disciples to murmur. And here's what struck me is their speech put them in alignment with the accusers rather than the followers. Murmuring is not faith. Murmuring is doubt manifesting itself in everything I'm speaking. And even worse than that, in 1 Corinthians 10:10, it says, "Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Just as praise and the Lord inhabits His praise, the destroyer shows up to murmuring. And if you want me to prove it, who has ever felt better about their situation after grumbling? Ever. I never have. Never have I ever felt better. But God has given me word, seeds, promises, over and over and over and over again. And you know what I've done? Lord, where is it? Lord, where is it? But does not the word in Hebrews say, the word was preached to them and it profited them nothing because they didn't mix the word with faith? I mean no disrespect when I say this, so I'm going to say it to me. Mitchell, that key verse is going to do you no good if you don't have faith in it. Oh, I got a key. Yeah, but you didn't know what it goes to. There's a treasure hid in the field. Tell me what's in that treasure. Oh, the kingdom of heaven. What specifically? Unlock it and find out. What I found is that His praise helps me breathe. When we would go through training, sometimes the breath would get knocked out of you by an explosion. And you know what they taught us to do if the wind was ever knocked out of you? Don't try and breathe in, breathe out. If you push every ounce of air that you have left out of you, your body will take over and suck back in. When you're getting hit the hardest, it's time to push what praise you got left. Everything that has breath, praise ye the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Everything within me praise His holy name. Why? Because I'm recognizing I can't breathe. And what happens when we get into an atmosphere where we can't breathe is we first start to look for what we call distraction. What it is false breath. I can't breathe. I can't. Okay. That's all right. I forgot about it. And I don't realize it's killing me. See, we could talk about fasting. And I've been on some fasts. I've been on some brutal fasts. And there ain't no boast in that. That's just God trying to teach me. But I am amazed that after one day, my flesh will let me know you haven't eaten. But boy, oh boy, I'll ignore my spirit. Because I found after 5 days of no food, my stomach goes quiet. It's easy for the spirit to go quiet too. And then all of a sudden I can't breathe because I'm not allowing the breath to come in. I'm not talking anymore. What God has given me promise is to produce atmosphere. Because if you haven't noticed, the world is suffocating. And you know what happens when people start drowning? They pull each other under. It becomes such a panic, a mother will drown her own child in the panic of drowning and will have to live with it once they get to shore. Because you're doing everything you can to get to the surface, to get air. I don't know about you, but there's been times this year. Every time I get above, here comes another breaker. Tossing and rolling. I think it's over. Here comes another one. I think it's over. Here comes another one. To where it's easy. It's easy to look for the false air. Because it's putting something in my lungs. But it's poison. And this world is waiting for what God has promised for us to let it grow. You know that they say the Amazon forest produces upwards of 20% of the world's oxygen? Just the Amazon rainforest. Now that's in dispute. They say, well, it might not be that much because all the animals are breathing it. But what they found to produce the most breath is actually water. The plankton in the water produces over half of our oxygen. Do you understand that what's found in the water is producing your ability to breathe? That the way God made the body, lungs don't breathe by themselves. They need a diaphragm. And so God gives us the Holy Spirit. And He says, you're a vessel. But in me I can do all things. I can draw from where I came from into you. He never tires. But I want to hear what He has to say. It's inconvenient. It's early. I'm tired. I got other things. But this isn't what it's about, church. I found that I can't breathe. That's why when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as Scripture states, were thrown into the furnace, God didn't just protect them from the fire. Fire eats up all the oxygen to where most people in a house fire die from suffocation. The Lord showed up and not only protected them from the flames, He gave them the breath of life in it. That's why they could dance in a place where there was no earthly atmosphere to sustain them. That's why David said, if I go up to the heavens, behold, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Why? Because do you realize that to try and have a mountaintop experience without His covering is as dangerous as going and fellowshipping with hell? After 26,000 feet, it's called the death zone. How far up towards His throne do you think you can get? Fighter pilots have to train for hypoxia, which is a lack of oxygen to the brain. And you know what the first symptom of the lack of breath is? Euphoria. I'm having a great time. You're having a great time not doing what He has told you to do. You are sitting in a shifted atmosphere. Oh, this is awesome. You need to get back to the breath. Because the next stage is reduced focus. Do you realize that you actually don't clearly see your peripheral? Your brain just kind of paints it in. We don't even notice. It goes off movement and just makes these shades. Does a great job of guessing. But hypoxia, our central focus is about this big. It takes it to this. And it paints everything else. You know what that means? You could have truth right in front of your face and not see it. I don't see what you're doing. Of course you don't. I don't see where I'm going. Of course you don't, Mitchell. I don't see what you're doing. Of course you don't. Because I keep praying, Lord, what are you doing? I'm looking for what His hand is upon. And He didn't tell me, seek my hand. He said, seek my face so I can give you breath. Because Mitchell, you need to breathe. And this is what stirred it. And I'm closing with this. I don't want to be long. Is on the fifth day, the Lord created the fowls of the air, and He created the creatures of the sea. But do you know that in the sea, there are mammals, dolphins, and whales? And they can't breathe in the water. They live in an environment that they can't breathe in the environment. They need to come up so that they can catch breath and go back down to find food. They need to come up so they can catch breath and go back down so they can find food. You go up on a mountaintop just to go down into the valley where the food is. You go up and down. And you know what's so horrific about what God made? Is the ones that are not eaten by predators, most of them will meet their end when they no longer have the strength to push up to air anymore. And what they're sitting in kills them. And this year, wave after wave, storm after storm, has just been crashing. until the point where it's like, I don't know. I've heard it from people. I am fighting. I'm fighting. And I don't know if I have the strength. I couldn't pray yesterday. I didn't read yesterday. But I'm here to tell you what God's been stirring on me is the first breath of man wasn't from the earth, it was mine. I don't have to go up to him. He came down to us. All I have to do is invite. In Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And the most horrific part about that verse is he's not talking to sinners. He's talking to a church and saying, I am not allowed in any of it. I'm not allowed in your life. I'm not allowed in your house. I'm not allowed in any of it. But if you will let me in. And church, I'm here. Through all the battles, through all that we're going through, to tell you that God has given us keys to unlock the breath of heaven. I don't need to change the situation, but I do need the atmosphere to shift. And I have a verse. That's just for me when I'm suffocating. This is God. Please. You said, and I believe. And in it comes. And so today I am talking to those who have felt it. I know this isn't for everybody. I'm not an everybody preacher. But I am talking to those who have felt it. I can't breathe. That God is here as he was last night for those that are willing to cry out and say, God, I need breath. If we could please stand. Brother Mike preached that God did everything out of love. Everything. In 2 Kings, you read of a woman who said, I need to build a room for a man of God. That he may come, he may go, he may dwell with us, he may break bread. And he's the man of God. Inquired, said, what do you think she needs? Well, I don't need anything. She doesn't have a kid. And he said, you're going to have a child. And the woman had so given up on the hope that she lashed out at him and said, don't lie to me. Have you ever been so stifled and so choked that just hearing the word is not received with joy? That what I thought I wanted is right here. Don't lie to me. And then it comes to pass. It comes to pass, and that boy, he dies. She runs out and she said, why'd you do this? And the man of God says, wait. And he goes to that dead child laying in that upper room, and he lays himself on that boy, and he stretches out over him. And he puts his mouth to his mouth. Why? Because I'm going to transfer the breath I got. You understand? There are some in here that are struggling to breathe. There are some in here who have breath. And we're together today. If this message ain't for you, I'm telling you, stretch yourself. Cover someone. Say, I got breath. I've been in His throne room. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. I hear it. If you can't breathe, I ask you to come. Don't speak of His situation. Don't speak of what you're going through. I want you to come up here and just say, blessed be Your name. God knows where I'm at, and God knows what I'm doing. God knows what I'm sitting in. But I'm done grumbling, and I'm just going to praise. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name. And when they gathered together in one heart, one mind, one accord, all of a sudden a breath out of heaven came rushing in. That's what's in this house. So I open these altars for those that need breath, and please, those that have it, find someone. Find someone and praise with them. In Jesus' name.